Well, we nearly averted a Fukushima last night. The nuclear reactor at Browns Ferry went down along with the tornadoes. The backup electricity kicked in. The generator came on. Breathe a sigh of relief. Do we really need more nuclear power? It's really pretty amazing. And the storms, of course, are getting more and more intense. There's 5% more moisture in the atmosphere right now than there was 25 years ago because there's so much more carbon dioxide warming it up so it can hold it. So our storms are so much more violent. I suspect, however, that dimension of the story is not going to be reported so often in the corporate media. Michael Schmortz is on the line with us with PajamasMedia.com. And Michael has written a piece called The Hidden Tax Regulation. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thanks. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I always thought of regulation and hidden taxes as being like back when food safety was unregulated and thousands, arguably hundreds of thousands of Americans died from contaminated food, that loss of productivity and all those medical bills and everything, those were hidden taxes. That when the coal-fired power plants were totally unregulated, and rather than just tens of thousands of Americans dying of cancer every year and hundreds of thousands of Americans getting asthma as we have right now, which the coal companies don't pay a penny for, but instead it was millions of Americans dying of cancer and getting asthma, that was a tax. I don't understand how you can say that regulation, which produces better health, higher productivity, and a, frankly, better world for all of us, is somehow a tax, A, and B, if it is a tax, why that's necessarily a bad thing.
Well, you're taking it to the extreme here, Tom.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about actual real-life examples that have happened in the United States of America.
Well, I understand that. And there's a point where we are either, you know, it's a balance. You've cited something that's on the other side of the balance. I'm bringing up the point that we are getting to a point where it's balanced too far the other way.
Well, give me one example where a regulation is costing all of us, the taxpayers, money, and is not generating a benefit for society or saving lives.
Well, it's debatable. For example, the one example I use, and I live in Maryland, is, I don't know if you live in Maryland, or I know you're D.C.
No, I live in D.C.
You live in D.C., okay.
I don't get to vote.
You may be sort of aware what's going on in Maryland, because you're right there. The example I used was Governor O'Malley decided to try to put windmills here off Ocean City. I live about 30 miles west of Ocean City. I live on the Eastern Shore. Oh, that's all well and good. I mean, yeah, that's green energy. That's the progressive way of doing things, but it's going to saddle ratepayers with a lot higher rates. They have to pay it. They have to pay a tax for the next 25 years in order to have these windmills offshore. And
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, Michael. I'm sorry. Can you explain it in English?
Yeah, I think I was explaining.
So
it in
you
English.
You have a house on the ocean shore.
Well,
and the governor
ocean.
Just said you have to put a window up?
No, a windmill.
Oh, a windmill. I'm offshore. Sorry. My apologies.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so they're putting offshore windmills off the coast of Maryland to generate electricity that is going to reduce the amount of oil and coal that is burned, so fewer people are going to die of cancer, fewer people are going to get asthma, fewer children are going to get autism from mercury-associated diseases. And you think that's a bad thing?
That's not necessarily true. That's the problem. It's a cost versus benefit analysis. Yes, you may have a point as far as the cost of the extra cancer, what have you. However, what's
I do
the
have
benefit?
A point.
Well, I mean, where is the that is the benefit, but the cost is thousands and thousands and thousands of Maryland ratepayers would pay more for electricity.
But and the additional benefit is
they
that
they can't afford to keep the economy moving, to innovate, to find new cures for asthma and all these other ills that you have just so breathtakingly described.
Well, okay, let's take this example then. The windmills off the shore are at the moment, if you say so, and I'll just accept your word on it, that they're generating electricity in a more expensive fashion than, for example, a coal-fired power plant. or a nuclear plant or whatever, which would have to be pretty damn expensive because nuclear is the most expensive form of energy that's ever been invented.
Well,
but let's just assume that your assumption is correct. If those windmills are reducing the $1 billion a day worth of oil that we have to import from foreign countries, much of which is going to people who want to bomb us and hurt us, and who's and who we have lost a lot of American blood and trillions of dollars of American treasure trying to occupy their lands, how could that possibly do anything other than, if we were to end those wars because we no longer need to import that oil? And I know, Michael, you're a smart guy. You're not naive enough to think that if the major export of Libya or Iraq was Brussels sprouts, that we would be bombing those countries. That if we could end those wars and we could become energy independent, that somehow the ratepayers of Maryland are going to end up in a net negative position. It seems to me like they're going to be in a massive net positive position, given that a large chunk of the taxes that they're paying every year are going to pay for those foreign wars to protect our oil supplies.
But you're leaving out two parts of the equation here that are also being affected by regulation. Number one, you have plenty of supply of natural gas in this country that we are not going out and exploiting, not to mention oil. We can get that too. Secondly, the other part of the equation is we may not necessarily be over there fighting the wars for oil, and you know, in that case, I sort of agree with you. I'm kind of questioning why we're over in Libya.
Yeah, you and me and Ron Paul.
I do have a libertarian streak in me, so yeah. But I think you're missing out on the idea of getting more natural gas, and that would actually.
But the getting more natural gas has incredible externality. Have you seen the movie Gasland?
No, I have not.
You got to see this thing. I mean, the way that we're discovering and getting more natural gas. The reason Halliburton just showed a $5.6 billion profit is because of this thing called hydraulic fracking, which violated every law in existence, and Dick Cheney personally intervened to get the laws, you know, preventing this pushed out of the way. And as far as oil goes, I mean, you know, 1974 was the last year that the United States domestically produced as much oil as it used. And you know, we haven't since then because we hit peak oil. Pennsylvania and Ohio used to be our major oil states. That's where Pennzoil came from. There's some oil left over, but we've got to look at things other than oil, like windmills.
Well, we can look at windmills, but there's got to be a bridge. That's the problem. And here's
well, let the bridge be the windmills.
Well, wait a minute. Here's the point I was making in my article, that you have companies that are invested in having a certain bridge built. They're stifling innovation because they're writing the rules to promote what their particular way.
So is your argument then that the 37,000 lobbyists in Washington, D.C. who are raining tens of millions of dollars down on this country, much of it the oil industry's money, should be put out of business? Because if so, I'm right there with you.
I would like to see a lot of the lobbyists put out of business, but I think I think you and I agree.
Why don't we call it bribery and make it illegal?
Well, here's the thing. I think you and I actually are looking at the same point, but in different ways. You look at it as a method of getting the lobbyists out of D.C. and just making it a bribery and be calling it illegal. I look at it as bringing the money out of D.C. and returning it to the people.
As long as the lobbyists are there, the people are not going to get the money. But, Michael, we're out of time. Michael Schwartz, you can read all about it at pyjamasmedia.com. Thank you, Michael.
No, thank you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.